Good afternoon. Welcome to Art Speak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd, your host and lover of radio. We've got a terrific show this afternoon. As always, every show is a terrific show. So I'm glad that you've made KKFI a priority and that you've tuned in either to 90.1 FM or online at kkfi.org or perhaps your radio app on your smartphone. So let's get started. Today we have Paula Rose in the studio. She is an educator, artist. She's a terrific, you're an educator at Blue River Community College and at the Arabia Steamboat Museum where she's the coordinator of education and preservation. We also have Moondrop Circus. We have two members of Moondrop Circus, Robin Rosenberger and Nadine Civitello, in the studio this afternoon. So I want to welcome Paula Rose. Hello.
Hi, Maria. Thank you for having me this afternoon.
Absolutely. You know, you wear a lot of hats. You're the coordinator of the education preservation, tour guide preservationist at the Arabia Steamboat Museum here in Kansas City.
That is true.
And, currently also, teaching at the Art Institute.
I do teach classes at the Art Institute from time to time, yes.
And Blue River Community College, which, mm-hmm. you know, that's out in my neck of the woods in mm-hmm. Independence, Missouri. So, you know, let me just ask you what's happening, sure. what's new and exciting at the Arabia Steamboat Museum, first of all.
Well, at the Arabia Steamboat Museum, it's always exciting.
Sure.
Because we are still working on cleaning and preserving about one third of the collection.
Wow.
Now, this is an 1850s steamboat that was excavated in the 1980s. The excavation only took 4 months, but they brought 200 tons of cargo from a typical 1850s mm-hmm. steamboat out of the ground near Parkville, Missouri. Mm-hmm. And today it is housed at the museum in the River Market. And even though the excavation only took 4 months, it has taken more than 25 years to get those artifacts cleaned, preserved, and on display. So every time you visit, you get to see, I don't want to say new things, but because they're yeah. over 150 years old, but you get to see
to
more artifacts. And so that makes it a new experience every time.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I remember, which is sort of odd, was that in sort of bringing all these relics and goods up, that there was a bottle of perfume that was intact.
Yes.
And the museum at the time actually would sell that.
Is correct. We are out of stock and have been for a little while. However, one of my projects right now is I am trying to get it back in stock
sure.
in the gift shop. Now, that means I have had to try to work with a local perfumier
yeah.
to try to recreate it again from scratch. Yeah. And she used our original 1850s formula.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to make any promises, but I'm really hoping we're going to have it back in the gift shop soon. So if you're interested,
it's all on your shoulders.
Yeah, it's no pressure. But if anyone's interested, stay tuned.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it's just wonderful to see this history in our backyard. I wish that I could dig up something like that in mine, you
yeah.
know, a dinosaur even or something like that. But no chance of that happening. Now, at the Art Institute in Blue River, you teach art history.
That is correct.
And you have focused with art, with feminist art?
Yes, my pet class, my signature class mm-hmm. at KCAI has been the history of women artists.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's really important to me because women have always been artists,
yeah.
and yet they haven't
yeah.
always made it into the history books for several reasons.
Tell us why. What are some of the reasons?
I would love to. One huge one is actually the fact that throughout history, although women have always made art, the type of art they made wasn't always valued because they often had a lack of access to training, education. They were officially excluded from professional artist organizations. And furthermore, not being able to work from nude models meant that women weren't able to create so-called history paintings, which are mythological, historical, or biblical paintings, which were considered the highest art form mm-hmm. in the 19th century and beyond. And so that's a huge, huge barrier. So a lot of women women artists who have been successful have had a family member, like a father or a brother, mm-hmm. and received training informally in that manner. Mm-hmm. Also, women artists often have changed their name when they got married. So, for example, Lady Elizabeth Butler, sometimes listed as Elizabeth Thompson, and that makes it difficult to find information about her. And thirdly, a lot of times women artists' work has been misattributed. What that means is historians at some point along the way assumed, well, that's too good to have been made by a mm-hmm. woman, or it'll be worth more if we think it was made by a man. So Judith Leister was often misattributed as Franz Hals, for example. Even a painting at the Louvre mm-hmm. by Franz Hals turned out to be a Judith Leister.
Well, and it seems that, women have just historically sort of been in the shadow of the men's, for instance, I think of Frida Kahlo, mm-hmm. and Diego Rivera. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I find her a much better painter and has a much better eye in color and composition, but, just sort of in his shadow.
Frida is a great example because posthumously, I think her fame has eclipsed his.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's because her themes, she painted about her own experience, herself, uh-huh. very, very personal works. But ultimately, I think we can relate now better to her very personal day-to-day experience than Diego's paintings, which were more about grand ideas like communism, mm-hmm. which are very, mm-hmm. I guess, seem less relevant and less timeless today.
Yeah, and yet, her work shows that, too, that commitment to, political activities and that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
In the green room, we were talking about Miriam Shapiro, who recently passed away. She was a pioneering feminine artist. Who with Judy Chicago, they created the landmark installation Woman House in Los Angeles. That was probably before you were born in the early 70s. And so anyway, she helped found the pattern and decoration movement. How
yes.
important was she to women's art?
Miriam Shapiro was a pioneer, and
yeah.
it's a great loss.
Yeah.
But she worked with a lot of fiber media. She worked with quilting, but she would create two-dimensional abstract paintings mm-hmm. using these media like fabric and quilting that were traditionally tackled by women and I would argue undervalued traditionally. She called it femmage, which is mm-hmm. her take mm-hmm. on collage through yeah. a woman's lens or a woman's perspective.
We also talked a bit about her Kansas City connection. So
yes.
let's share that with our listeners.
So in 1977, Miriam Shapiro juried an exhibition in Kansas City at UMKC that was very important. It was called Women Artists 77.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the first documented all-women exhibition in Kansas City. At the time, it was well received, but there was also a lot of backlash.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
in the catalog for that show, they talk about how important it is to give women artists exposure, because at the time, in 1977, only about 15% of artists represented in galleries were women, even mm-hmm. though 50% of art students were actually women.
Do you find that that's happening today? Do you find that... Yes, you're nodding your head, yes.
Sadly, yes. Now, yeah. I will say that things have improved, and they continue to improve, and that is cause to be hopeful. However, things are not improving as quickly as Miriam Shapiro might hope.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, last year I helped to co-curate an exhibition called Young Women Artists in mm-hmm. Lawrence mm-hmm. with my friend Meredith Moore, and we actually went to galleries and museums and counted the representation of women locally, and mm-hmm. what we found was in Kansas City and Lawrence and in the region, only about 30% of mm-hmm. artists who are represented in those institutions are women. So it's about twice as good as in 1977. However, does that mean it's going to take another 35 years before we achieve equality?
How do we fix that, or do we? What needs to happen to sort of remedy what's happening?
I love that question. I think it's very important that we all speak up, use our voices.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The art historian Linda Nochlin says it's important to be fearless.
Mm-hmm.
We really
mm-hmm.
need to hold curators and more so museum boards
yeah.
accountable
yeah.
Because they provide the funding, and so we need to tell them that we want to see women artists represented. We can all go out and support by attending events that highlight women artists mm-hmm. locally.
Support one another.
Uh-huh. Yes. And also, I've been working very closely with my friend RZ Molly at the Women's Center at UMKC.
Yeah. She's awesome.
She is truly awesome.
She is a powerhouse for such a tiny little woman.
She's so full of energy. She's so positive, and she does a great job with the Her Art project at UMKC. So we've been planning an event together for the fall. Mm-hmm. We want to have an edit-a-thon where we bring the community together to add women artists to Wikipedia, and mm-hmm. we really want to focus this event on women artists in the Midwest, mm-hmm. because that's important to us. So look for that in November.
Well, I know she did. She did something at the Lady Vulcus. It was who does she think she is? It was mm-hmm. the arts, women in arts, and who does she think she is? And that was a very powerful show. How do we get a younger generation involved in the arts? A younger generation of women coming up in the arts.
The younger generation, I think, is, believe it or not, more open to feminism, mm-hmm. owning mm-hmm. that word feminism and embracing feminist ideas. So we can support and nourish that. We can make it cool to be feminist. Yeah. I think when you hear, whether you're a man or a woman or no matter what your identity or your background is, and you hear people promoting sexism, say that's not cool. Yeah.
Well, you know, and even just the mere mention of the word feminism, you know, there's just an array of ideas and thoughts and philosophies that one has in their mind depending mm-hmm. upon their experience. Mm-hmm. So what is feminism to you?
To me, feminism is equal opportunity based on gender and mm-hmm. Based on gender identification. And it's really nothing more or less than that. But unfortunately, we have not achieved equal opportunity in the arts mm-hmm. today. I think mm-hmm. a lot of people assume that art institutions are liberal, they're lovey-dovey, but mm-hmm. but the truth is the numbers don't support that. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. we really do need to speak up and make our voices heard.
So do you think there, would it be helpful if there were more women represented in colleges across the country? Not only just the arts, but the sciences and all across the board.
I couldn't agree more. We need more women in the STEM, science, technology, mm-hmm. engineering, and math fields. The discrimination that women face in the art world is only compounded in those areas. And that's why we love bringing together people of different disciplines mm-hmm. to contribute online and make mm-hmm. our voices heard online on Wikipedia and in other forms as well.
Now, what in your classes that you teach at the Art Institute in Blue River, what are some of the classes that you, what do you cover in your classes? Mostly the art history of the woman?
Yes, my women in art class starts usually with the Renaissance, although there's growing evidence that there were women artists even in the prehistoric era.
Well, of course.
We usually kind of start in the Renaissance where it's easy to find documentation of women artists. And it's important to me to expand the canon, as mm-hmm, we say, mm-hmm, to recognize that there have always been women artists, because that can provide inspiration for the younger generations. Mm-hmm. And so we talk about women artists we all know, like Frida Kahlo mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. Artemisia Gentileschi, but we also talk about some lesser known artists and some types of media that haven't traditionally been respected by arts institutions, mm-hmm. like quilting, like miniature painting. Performance art was really important for feminist artists in the 1970s and 1980s and continues to be important today.
Is there a strong sampling of women artists here in the Midwest?
Absolutely. And the goal of the YWA show that I curated uh-huh. last year was to make it clear that there is a lot of talent, mm-hmm. That there are plenty of women artists who could be better represented. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yes, the Midwest, I'm very passionate about art in the Midwest. The mm-hmm. Kansas City Art mm-hmm. Institute has mm-hmm. always been a place where very, very, very talented artists are trained, and, mm-hmm. and their enrollment is 60% women. So there's no reason why can't. Yeah, there's no reason why there can't be more women represented in local galleries and museums. Now, as you pointed out, the Lidi Volkos does a great job, and there's some great women artists showing this Friday, Friday.
So. Tell us.
Well, for example,
just holding back, folks.
At Ha Contemporary, right now you can see a show by Blanket Undercover, which is a performance art duo consisting of Megan Mantilla and Leon Reeves. And they are actually looking at, they're using art history as inspiration for their actions for this show. So definitely check that one out.
So that will be this first Friday, right?
It's already opened and it runs through July 18th. So first Friday would be a good chance to go see that.
Okay.
My friend Jessica Simone Mort. She was in my YWA show, and she has an opening on July 10th at the Kansas City Artists Coalition. So be sure to see her paintings. They're really fresh and energetic and colorful.
Terrific. Now, do you do any art criticism writing along with the work that that you do at the colleges?
I do. I actually blog only semi-regularly at paularosekc.com.
Terrific, terrific. Thank you so much for coming in this afternoon, Paula Rose.
I really enjoyed
you know, we have to have you back. We'll have a longer conversation about art history. And if you stay tuned to ArtSpeak Radio, we'll be right back with poet Sherry Hall. Stay tuned. You're listening to ArtSpeak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd. Thank you for tuning in to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Radio. Next up, we have Sherry Hall. She is a wife, a mother of four. She's a working woman, servant of God, and a poet. Now, as an African-American child, she was brought up by a single mother in the inner city of Kansas City, Missouri, and she used poetry to fight her way through life struggles and still uses it today. She's a dynamic spoken word artist, minister, teacher, and motivational speaker who uses concrete imagery, and her spirituality is unique. And it conveys a message about life, hope, love, dismay, glory, and God. Welcome, Sherry.
Hello.
I am so glad you could join us today.
I am glad I could be here.
Terrific. You know, if you would tell our listeners about spoken word, how is that different from writing poetry, or is there a difference?
Absolutely. Spoken word is a step further. So poetry is written, and there are arguments between what designates poetry and prose and what is form and what is not, blah, blah, blah. It is the literary art that is poetry. Now, spoken word is a way of performance art where you take the literary art and mash it up with performance, and it is to be meaningful and dynamic in the performance of the words. So you're not just reading the poem, but you're actually becoming the poem and presenting it before people.
And, you know, I want to mention also that you're a part of a slam
I am.
So let's talk about that.
Yes. Slam You Lit. We are going to be the first slam team ever from Kansas City to go compete at the National Poetry Slam, which is held by Poetry Slam Inc. And it is the largest poetry slam competition in the world.
Where's that going to be held?
That is going to be held this year in Oakland, California in August from the 10th through the 15th. And it's such an opportunity, not just for me, but for also Kansas City, because we haven't been recognized there, and we have such a poetry revolution and evolution of the craft and the scene here going on. It would be a shame for us not to be included in that number.
You know, I want to tell our listeners that I want you to know that Sherry's also been the 2012 Arts KC featured artist performing at their annual event at the Starlight Theater. So you also performed for the first annual Malcolm X celebration at the Capitol Building in Jeff City, performed for Reverend Al Sharpton. You also shared the mic with poets such as Jackie Hill Perry and Tony Award-winning Lemon Anderson. That's pretty impressive, kid.
It was huge. Yeah, I'm like, wow, that's my life. I actually met these people. But, you know, it's something so organic to be able to do poetry shoulder to shoulder with other people. Mm-hmm. No matter how big mm-hmm. their names are, you hear their poetry, you feel their experiences, yeah. and it brings humanity mm-hmm. to the whole deal. So, yeah, I have to admit, I am a groupie. I am a fan. I am starstruck, but then when we all, it's kind of a cipher of sorts. When we all commune with the stage, mm-hmm. it gets real human.
Yeah.
And yeah. we share.
Well, you know, a recent John Lennon quote helped me understand about spoken word, and I'll just share it here. When you're drowning, you don't say, "I would be incredibly pleased if someone would have the foresight to notice me drowning and come and help me." You just scream.
Yes.
And to me, that sort of puts in perspective that spoken word. Mm-hmm. It is passionate.
It's passionate.
And it's powerful in the words, in the performance, mm-hmm. and with the ideas, you know, behind those words. Mm-hmm. Do you have some work to share with us today?
I do.
So give us some of your work.
So when I was here Sunday,
on the other show, River Trade Radio. That was awesome. I listened.
Thank you. I was being the anti-love poet because, yeah, I do genuinely hate love poems. I can write them. I write stuff for weddings. Yeah. I have a husband. I love love. But something about it just seems so harlequin, romance, sappy. Oh, but anywho, today is a happy day. So I am going to share a poem with you called Break Poet. And just to let you know, as artists of all disciplines, we are looking for a breakthrough from a person when they are reviewing our art. We're looking to break through to them. Mm-hmm. We're looking for them to break through to us. Maybe they need to break through a situation. Either way, there's going to be a breaking. So this poem is called Break Poet. And besides the fact that I really like breakdance music.
Sure.
So without further ado. Break dodos and dum dums. 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 Break poet. Break poet. Break 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 poet. Break dodos and dum dums with conscience. Num num. This conscientious reliance on a diet of defiance. Break bread with enough yeast to cause an uprising or a riot. Break poets. Leave heads spinning with windmills of information dropping from handstand to elbows. Drop. Jackhammering your top rock. Breaking indoctrination. Boomeranging ideas, kicking facts, freeze. Then let it all sink in. Break poets, make power moves. Break it down, poets. Educate poets. Break stereotypes. Break boundaries. Break beats. Break the regulated rat race rhythm. Breaking expectations. Break new ground. Break the mold and the box. Break bones. Originally broken to conform. Break so they won't be deformed. Break societal norms. Break broken promises that break broken hearts. Break lines. Break stanzas. Break English. Break poets. Break them off something tangible. Break like you are a last poet, like your name is Gil Scott Heron, Asada Shakur, Sam Cooke. Break like you are a Baraka, a Miri or Amma Show. Break like you are Thoreau, giving a discourse in civil disobedience. Be thorough. Break yourself. Break yourself so that his light can shine through. Breaking, you're breaking, you're breaking every chain. Break down, poets. Feel it. Break down and cry. Break poets break because they have been broken but refuse to be broke down. They break free by consoling broken souls with pens, pads, and microphones. Breaking brokenness, bringing breakthroughs, still healing can break through. Break poets got breaking to do. Break poets take no breaks because these are the breaks. Break it up, break it up, break it up. Break, irrit, break, irrit, break dodos and dum-dums. Break dodos and dum-dums. Break dodos and dum-dums. Break dodos and dum-dums. Break poet, break poet, break, 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 break. And that is that piece.
Brava. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Our live studio audience. How tough is that to perform? When you first began, you know, writing and performing, was it a tough gig to be out on stage?
Oh, my God. I'm nervous every time.
Really?
I wasn't even nervous then. And I think for me, if I ever stop having some degree of butterflies, if I ever stop thinking, I'm going to question the importance of the craft. And these words are very important to me. You know, some of them come straight from me out of anger. Some of them come out of, you know, spiritual awakening. I've had a revelation. I'm like, look, this is what needs to happen now. Some of them are really reaching into the depths of the community. All of those things are important to me. Some of them are for fun. And I value laughter. So all of this is very important to me. And if it ever becomes not that way, if I'm ever not caring, if my stomach isn't churning, there's a problem. There's a sincere problem.
How long have you been performing and writing?
I've been writing since I was seven. I have been performing, let's say loosely, my first time stepping into an open mic, you know, just reading, was in 2004. But in 2006, I actually started performing. And here I am now with Slam You Lit. And I love you guys, squad. That's our little, you know, team chance. We're the squad.
Give a shout out to some of the folks on the team.
Absolutely. I want to give a shout out to all my love, all my Po bros. And that would be John Hypocrisy Lewis, Darrell R.V. Dixon, Brandon Amazing Nelson, William Trey Newman, and she know I got her personally, our help for Slam You Lit. She is our, she does a lot for us. And that would be Regina Serenity Wagner and our pixie resident, Mama Bear. And she is Envion Payne, who is also, you know, all of our poets are killer. If you've been on the scene within the last 5 years, you know, it's wow. And it's been a feat to really make it here. It was a struggle, you know, just getting certified, getting this, but it kept pushing, kept pushing, kept pushing. And we competed to be on the team. This isn't something I just formed. You know, we competed. It was a long process of competition to get on the team.
How do you find your team members? Do they come to you? Is it competition?
It's competition.
Do you sort of recruit people from schools or organizations?
So this is really an adult team. LTAB, Louder Than a Bomb, are youth. Right. And a lot of schools and different organizations, shout out to KC Poetry, and we practice right up the street. We're the only one that's actually not affiliated with a school. A group of poets made by poets for the youth, but shout out to all the schools as well, because we need more school participation. But that is the youth. Slam You Lit are adults, and there are people who have a passion for the art, and we come out, and when the slam is, you know, presented, you know, at least 10 of us come out and slam against each other, see who's on top. And throughout the slam season, you had to have earned 10 points to be able to compete in the final slam. And in the final slam, that is what decided who the team was going to be. So it's an earned. It's not something that, oh, we just got together as a group. No. It's earned.
And your website is SpokenPurpose.com. So then, you know, you can find out more about the organization and the members of that team. And you're currently doing a fundraiser.
We are fundraising. We are fundraising. We are fundraising. I said we're fundraising. And it's because we need help to get there. There's seven of us traveling there. This is our first time. And when we go there, we're going there for Kansas City, and we're building a legacy. We're building something that is continual. So please go to www.spokenpurpose.com and look at the links on there and help us out if you can.
Now, I do want to mention that you've also performed at the Blue Room, the Nelson Atkins, the Unicorn Theater. You know, you have such a terrific bio that I can't help but, you know, sort of brag, you know, about you.
Well, thank you.
And, of course, I know you've worked with spoken word artist, our friend Glenn North. He's pretty amazing, too.
And it's been a blessing. This whole journey has been a blessing, and the people that I've met and the people, you know.
There's a camaraderie.
It is.
Between poets and artists.
We pour into each other's lives. I also was a part of KC Artists Inc. and meeting the poets of different disciplines. That was beautiful. Because by the time I got to Tangled Roots, I don't know if you know what that is, with the Jewish Community Center, when we talked, when we looked at stuff, when we learned, all the words came out in paint rather than words. So having that interdisciplinary experience is also important.
Absolutely.
It helps. Yeah. And also painting then helps the poetry side, and it just develops.
Well, and I think that that's true of all disciplines, you know, music and art and writing and all that is just sort of, it's intertwined. There's no getting away from it.
It's really not.
Do you have another piece you want to perform for us?
Well, sure.
As I put you on the spot.
I'm always on the spot. That's what us performing artists are always on the spot.
Loves it.
So, let's see. I'm going to do something different because I don't like to do the same thing all the time for multiple shows. I'm going to address the topic. We've had, you know, Charleston, several brutalities, killing in the streets, things even here. And I wrote a poem called My Boy. And that is what I will share because it's relevant to right now. And my heart cries out for the families. And this affects not only people of color, but, you know, these people had teachers, they had friends, they had people that they worked with of all colors. So when something happens in the community, it's not just a black problem. It affects all of us. The day. The first day I saw him, looked at his beautiful brown, tender and harmless, cooed and cried, swaddled, I protected my boy. And before I knew what he was for, those big brown eyes melt my heart, hugged so tight as if holding me was helping him to hold on to his childhood. Yet with every heartbeat, it was fleeting, my boy. Grown into a young man, charming is my boy, though his charms are life-threatening, my boy. The only enforced zero tolerance, can't have strong opinions without sounding militant, only celebrated as an 1800 slave, a thug or ignorant, can't go to school and learn about himself through public education and only gets taxpayer funded reading material through incarceration, my boy. Can't drink iced tea in the parking lot nor seek help without getting shots. Can't go to work without someone thinking he's out of place nor inspect the land for his living space. Can't drive while black nor take out the trash. Can't raise his voice nor raise his hand. My boy denied his right to be a man. My boy can't show emotion after a game. My boy, your $40 million slave must behave a certain way. My boy can't walk to basketball practice without facing harassment from flat foots on pavement using probable cause as a basis. Reached in his pants, his private, she grasps, yank, twist, and pop. My boy will never be a biological pops. You done messed up, my boy. Can't be disrespectful like those boys who flirtatiously whistle at women. Can't be disgusting like those boys. You go tell their moms my boy must be shot or hung as he is just a crow suitable for Jimmy. Must be tortured and exterminated at the fear of interbreeding. My boy can't walk to the store at night like other teens. Can't play his music loud like other teens. One minor infraction and he's dead on the scene. Prisoner in his own neighborhood is my boy. High risk for the potential man he is, and even as president will not get the proper respect that is due him. Make bumper stickers that say, don't renege, refuse to work with him. Wag their finger in the face of my boy. Can't be great. Memorialized by metal statue, they will still laugh and tie a noose around his inanimate metal neck, expecting us to take lightly their disrespect. You call him monkey, jungle bunny, animal coon, but I ain't never seen the likes of PETA protecting my boy. The nameless, faceless shape of begotten violence. This one, ma'am, is this here your boy? Yes, this is his beautiful brown mangled mess of flesh now, and I can't protect him. Swaddled in burial clothing, open my boy's casket. You're going to look at my boy. That's that piece.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so very much, Sherry Hall, for coming in today. Your website is SpokenPurpose.com.
Yes.
Take a look and get more information. Bless your heart for coming in. Come back
Thank
and see
you.
Us, please. We'll be right back with Moondrop Circus. Welcome back to Art Speak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez-Poit. Next up, in the studio. We have Moondrop Circus. Robin Rosenberger is here with, along with Nadine Savatello. Moondrop Circus is a performing arts company that focuses on circus arts as entertainment. Moondrop Circus also provides a stage for local Kansas City performers to engage the audience and inspire them to dream big, with an emphasis on creativity, collaboration, and professionalism in the circus arts. Now, Moondrop Circus has performed at many locations around Kansas City, and you can find them at moondropcircus.com. So welcome, Robin, and welcome, Nadine.
Hi.
Hello.
Terrific. You know, this is so exciting to have you all here, because Moondrop Circus, it evokes so many different ideas and imagery. So, talk about Moondrop Circus.
Yeah, sure. So Moondrop Circus got started in 2012.
Uh-huh.
I think our first event was really at Dance in the Park in the Roanoke Park through City in Motion, and we did a three-piece aerial juggling dance piece with live music, and that really got things started.
So you're really relatively new then, Moondrop
Circus. Yeah, we've only been around 3 years, really.
Wow.
We do a lot of First Friday events so that we can be out in the public and they can get an idea of what community circus is, because it's a little different than Big Top Circus or Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah, what is the difference?
I think Moondrop Circus is a great place for people to come and try new things and want to learn something, and it allows everyone to perform. You don't have to necessarily go away for years and learn in a dark basement. You can learn with each other, and we're very collaborative.
When someone comes to the circus, do they already have sort of a inherent knowledge about juggling or some of the other things that happens in the circus, and you just sort of improve upon that, or do you take someone with just the passion to learn, the willingness to learn?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, most people that start performing with Moondrop Circus have a talent that they're already good at, but often we take that talent and they do collaborate with other performers to either improve on the talent or create a new one. And then we also have the live musicians that work with our performers at some events, so that really gives it a fun vibe. You know, they're not just doing it to a can of music.
So it's sort of synced with what activity is happening.
Yes,
absolutely. Yeah. And the music is written specifically for the performers. It's not something that is made up. The musicians come in, we give them a feel of the act, and they write the music right there on the spot.
Truly original, through and through. Who are some of the performers, and how many do you have sort of in your camp?
Well, we've got about 15-ish. It changes. Some people go off to circus schools or travel to different places. Just some of the people, the person that got us on the show is Justin Sheldon. He's a juggler. We've got Greg Owsley. Abby Rooney is an acrobat.
We've got a yo-yoer, Blake Goetze Freeman.
Mm-hmm. We've got Nadine. Who else do we have got? We've got Tara Gray.
Yeah. Alisham.
Alicia Woodson.
Yep. And, of course, the musicians.
Oh, the musicians, yeah. Andrew Wilson, Noah Richmond, Carrie McRoberts. We have so many, it's hard to name all of them. That's true.
So what does it take to be a performer?
A lot of work. We rehearse
a lot of practice
all the time. Yeah. Uh-huh. It's a lot of strength in not only the physicality, but also just your mental. You have to be ready to be on stage, perform, deal with things like weather issues or crowds that, you know, are a little louder than you wanted.
Because it's not a typical, you know, when I think of circus, you know, the big top, the big canvas, it's more contemporary in nature and where you perform, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have to deal, we're not, we don't have a big top to cover us a lot of times. So we do have to kind of be in the elements. But then we also cater to the events that we are brought into. So we do have an event, the Nelson Adkins, that we're performing with. It's a Garden of Eden, the Summer White Party. So it's themed. So that's when we try and bring a theme to that event. So it's not just us. We try to collaborate with our event coordinators also.
So is it, it's going to be a brand new show every time we see you perform, or maybe do you, it depends on the event?
Yeah, it depends on the event. Sometimes we do more roaming sort of activities or get the audience involved that way. And sometimes we do like a full 45-minute set. But really, every time you see us, it'll be different.
That's
what's very unique about Moondrop is they talk to Robin and they say they want some sort of color or theme, and she can just create it out of thin air. It's really amazing to see what she can put together.
Well, it's interesting because I talking to Justin, I met him about a month ago, and he talked about Moondrop Circus, and it just had this wonderful feeling about it, the way he was describing it, that you all come together and you just have a lot of fun, you have a lot of skills, you bring this to the city. Do you offer classes or do you have workshops for the community, or is it mostly performing on site?
We do mostly performing, but there are occasions where we do host workshops. The Kansas City Juggling Club puts on a festival every year, and I often teach some aerials at that festival. And then we also host a community circus week, and during that week, and we try to do it every January, we do host workshops. A lot of times we'll bring in other people to help teach or present on different ideas and concepts, whether that's like rigging or being a performer or talking to a performer panel. So there's lots of, or having a kids workshop. So we do try and do that, but we don't have a physical location that we teach out of. But so, there's lots of other places that do teach circus skills, including the Kansas City Juggling Club and very many aerial studios around town also.
What was the inspiration? What did someone just wake up and say, I'm going to create a circus? I mean, was it sort of a collaborative, you know, discussion between maybe a couple of performers? Oh, look, they're looking at each other. How are they going to answer this one?
No, thanks, it's a Maria. Really good question. You know, I co-founded Moondrop Circus in 2012 with Luna Bree Blakeman, excuse me.
That's a lot of names.
She's a hula hooper. She's now based in Portland. And she had the idea of, she had her own company and thought, I really want to create a circus group that we can collaborate together. And I was like, well, you're going to need some help. Let me help you. And she ended up wanting to go train more significantly in Portland. And so when that was the decision made, I kind of took the reins, and I really enjoyed doing the more community-oriented things, the first Fridays, and we did a final Fridays in Lawrence, and we do a lot of other things that are community-oriented. And then it just, you know, we also have to make a living, so it just kind of turned into a business, I guess.
It's very organic the way it happened. It just kind of naturally formed.
What are some of the benefits of the circus arts?
Circus arts help really in all aspects. It keeps you flexible, keeps you strong. Juggling has been known to grow the gray matter of your brain, which, of course, we all know makes you smarter. So, you know, circus people are super smart.
We do. We have a lot of nerds in circus.
But they like that title. You know, they like to sit in their dark basement, from, like I said earlier.
But do you also maybe do any collaborations? You were talking about one of the founders being in Oregon?
Yes, she moved to Oregon to go to Pendulum. It's a circus school there.
Do you find that you can create other collaborations in different cities? Say, if you're visiting a city in Portland or St. Louis and that, do you find other circus performers or groups across the nation?
I think Nadine would definitely agree with me on this, that we're kind of a tight-knit group.
I bet.
Very much.
I feel like when you go to a different city to train or to go to see a show, you often know so many of the performers, or you friend them on Facebook and they have 10 of the same friends as you. So it's a pretty tight-knit group, and they're, definitely organically, I think, a lot of collaborations.
And we've traveled a lot to do training. We've gone to Chicago. We travel to Nebraska, Arkansas, just different festivals. Anything we can do to improve our skills, we jump on that train.
So typically, how does the event unfold? When you're performing, is there sort of a gathering of all the performers, and then they come out in stages, or?
Yeah, each event is a little bit different. For instance, when we do the first Fridays, we have usually one MC who's kind of out there ringleading everything and getting it all in order, and then each performer comes up and does their act. We'll have a lot of rehearsals but scheduling is very difficult. So sometimes half the performers will meet up one day, half another, and then we just mix it together. It's a lot of trust that goes on. You have to know that person's going
to
come out on time and do their thing.
And for this this first Friday, you'll be at Urbana?
Oh, it's tonight. Actually tonight. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
First Wednesday of the month, the Power and Light District is hosting Urbana. It's just sort of feels like a block party for downtown. And they have games and live music and food and drink, and all families are welcome.
And now acrobats and jugglers.
So we are there every first Wednesday of the month, and we'll be presenting something different every month.
So that's about 14th Street at Main and Walnut from 5 to 10
evening.
And is it weather permitting, or you have a show no matter what?
It's pretty much rain or shine. The very first time they did it last month, they did postpone it because it was pretty much downpour. But this time it looks like even if it sprinkles and all that, we'll be there.
Yeah. You know, I want to mention to our listeners that there's a video of Moondrop Circus that's where you were featured on the local show Arts Upload.
That's correct.
And I believe that was public television. So you can find that video.
You can find it on our website.
On your website, which is moondropcircus.com. Also an event page and maybe a bio or a listing of other members.
It's got it all. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty thorough, and we try and keep it very updated, up to the minute.
And you all are on Facebook as well.
Oh, yeah.
So tell us some other upcoming events that I might have not listed here besides tonight's event.
We have one July 17th at Missy B's. It'll just be one of our acts. Specifically, it'll be the Rosetta Sisters, our new acrobatic duo act. And that'll be two performances with a local clown. Ruby and Astro are the other ones we'll be performing with. They're going to be great. It's going to be a very fun event, late night, adult themed.
Yeah. So, I mean, your shows, depending on the venues, it can be G-rated to more adult.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah. Most of the things we do are definitely geared towards families.
Sure.
But when we get asked to do a vaudeville show or a variety show, we definitely jump at the chance because it's fun for us to get to just bring different material, different kinds of events.
Yeah, expand the horizon.
So that you could bring in, like, burlesque, for instance.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Fun. Am I too old to join the circus?
I can't juggle.
I have no skills whatsoever.
I don't think so. You're never too old to start learning and participating. We do have a lot of crossover with the Kansas City Juggling Club that meets on Wednesday nights at St. Teresa's from 6 to 8, and they have all different ages, kids, adults, grandparents.
And it's not just juggling. There's yo-yo, hula hoop, acrobatics. There's anything you want to learn. Someone there knows how to do it.
Stuff on fire. Do you juggle with fire?
We
with
do. Mm-hmm. We do fire eating, fire breathing, juggling,
fire hooping.
Wow.
Dance, poi, anything.
Fire swords, you name it.
That's right.
There's probably somebody that does it.
Now, is there a crossover with some of your musicians? Although you certainly couldn't swallow a flaming knife as you're trying to
light their guitar on fire.
There's been talk about a flaming trombone.
Let's hope that was a musical instrument they're talking about.
Yeah. Some of your musicians, are they also performers at any given time? Can they also do some of the circus arts?
Yes, yeah, so we do have one of our musicians does a juggling music act with another juggler.
So Acrobalance, too.
Acrobalance, that's it.
Actually, I think I'm pretty sure all the musicians can juggle, which is pretty impressive.
Even while playing.
And while playing, and some of the musicians are in other bands too, so they keep busy.
Now you mostly are here in Kansas City, but you also can work out of Lawrence, Kansas. Do you also? I think I read here someplace about you are at the first Friday, the City Market, maybe Lawrence. Or am I just making things?
Yes, we've done the Busker Festival down on the River Market.
The Busker Festival.
We've had requests for shows really from all over. We've done Rockport, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a request from Virginia recently.
I was just in Peoria, Illinois for a kind of like a Renaissance festival this past weekend with another partner of mine that's an aerialist. So we'll go wherever people can get us to.
You stay pretty busy year round.
Oh yeah. There's definitely a slow season, but that's a nice, like, time to take a vacation.
Learn new tricks.
A slow season meaning what kind of year?
Less people might, you may not get hired as much for entertainment possibly in the winter, maybe like February, March, April. But I don't know. This year we were pretty busy still, so it kind of just depends. Yeah. But we stay busy most of the year for sure.
How big is the company in terms of, I mean, do you have a lot of costuming? When you go on site to a venue or out of town, is there a lot of packing of instruments and costumes and all that?
We fill my van from top to bottom, just pack it full.
Wow. A lot of times when we have the aerial rig that takes up, it's about 200 pounds of aluminum poles. So that
and
takes up some room.
How tall? 19?
It's 18 and a half feet tall. It kind of sets up like a swing set. We have mats we need to bring to keep the performers safe.
Do you have to kind of check out the site prior to setting that up? I mean, you know, make sure that everything's sort of level and you're not going to fly into, something that you don't want to fly into.
Robin does a lot of site visits for every show we do.
Yeah, definitely go check it out. If we can rig on site, we try to do that. If we don't, if the musicians can use a PA system already there, we try to do that. So we don't have to bring as much stuff, but we definitely have all of that with us most of the time. And the costumes, we've just got bins and bins of costumes.
Do you have any advice any advice for someone who's considering circus arts?
I say start with whatever you can. Show up to as many events like the juggling club or the yo-yo group or anything and just try your hand at something you might not have even thought about because you could have an instinct talent and no one knew.
Like I mentioned, the aerial studios have lots of classes for beginners, and just want to give a shout out to all those aerial studios doing a great job. We've got Lucia, Volet, Quixotic,
learning to fly,
and Lawrence, they've got The Last Carnival. So check.
You know, that's been really popular, and you know the flying arts. I went to Artists Inc. with several members, and it's just really fascinating. I think people really enjoy watching the performance.
Yeah, you know, it's a good thing because if you can make it look easy, I think that's the key. So everyone can look at you and say, "Oh, I can do that," and then when they try it, they realize, "Oh my, that took a lot more work than I thought it would." And I think that's our key. And then we show them what else they can learn and point them to whatever they seem to be good at or whatever they want to try.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Robin Rosenberger and Nadine Civitello. Did I say that?
Yeah, it was exactly
right. You got it right.
Very good. Much luck to you this weekend on your performance and tonight.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I want to thank all my listeners for tuning in this afternoon, making KKFI a priority. I want to thank Sherry Hall, who gave us some terrific poetry, art historian Paula Rose, of course, Robin Rosenberger, and Nadine Civitello with Moondrop Circus. Next week, July 8th, on the program, we'll have playwrights Jose Faust, Michelle T. Johnson, Kevin King, and Vicky Vaudry. We're going to talk about, have written or will perform plays that they'll offer at the Fringe Festival. At 1 o'clock, stay tuned for Afternoon Jazz with Jeff Harshberger. At 3 o'clock, Old G's Hangout with Groovy Grant. 6 o'clock, All Souls Forum. 7 o'clock, American Roots. And 9 o'clock, The Classical Challenge. Thank you all for tuning in and listening. Be sure to like me on Facebook because I really like you. And honey, I'm coming home.